I'm just reading the first verse of Matthew chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. This portion of Scripture is dealing with the Lord gathering together His disciples. He is commissioning them to go forward, to serve Him, to both preach the Gospel and to see lives of men and women changed and transformed by the grace and power of God. And as we come to this word this morning, I want to leave with you the subject of devoting your life to the service of Christ. Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Our loving Father, as we turn now to Thy precious Word, ask that we might know the help of the Spirit of God. We thank Thee for Thy presence already in our service. We thank Thee for all the children who have been singing and reciting the Word of God today. We hold each one of them up before Thee in earnest prayer. We thank Thee for the many who have already trusted the Savior. We pray for those that are still unsaved. And we ask Thee, Lord, to strive in their young hearts, and they would come to know what it is not only to be born again of the Spirit of God, but to know a life that is devoted unto Christ, a life that is sanctified, a life that is set apart. We ask Thee, Lord, to bless our young people in the Sunday school, bless our young people's fellowship. We pray for the clear leading of the Holy Spirit in every one of their lives. And today, Father, we specifically acknowledge the mothers and the grandmothers and great-grandmothers in our congregation. We acknowledge those that have had such a great influence upon our lives. And we pray, Lord, for Thy rich blessing to continue upon each one. And those perhaps that are here that are carrying very heavy burdens, because of children who have gone astray, those that are wayward from the things of Christ, Lord, we ask Thee to answer their prayers and restore them unto grace, or else, Lord, save their souls. Our Father, we rejoice that we come to a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We come to a God of great grace. We come to one who is able to do beyond what we can think and expect. And we thank Thee. We do pray in the name of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and help us this morning. Settle our minds, our hearts. Give us attentiveness to the things of God. Forgive us, we pray, for every sin. Cleanse our hearts from everything that would defile. And Lord, don't let anything abide in our lives that would hinder the blessing of God from being poured out. Lord, hear this, our prayer today, for we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. On the back of your bulletin, Maud included this. It is appropriate for a Mother's Day service. Let me read the first couple of lines to you. Perhaps there is no greater privilege in life than having a godly mother. One who fears the Lord and stands in the gap in prayer for her children. How many of us can trace our first witness of truth and salvation to our precious mother? How many of us experienced true understanding and the unconditional love of Jesus through a motherly example. That is a very true statement. And for those of you who have had the blessing of having a God-fearing mother, it is something of a great price. I have the opportunity of being able to stand before you today and pay tribute to such a mother, one who is usually with us in the congregation, and yet today they are down in Florida enjoying a time of holiday. But today, in her absence, I would pay her tribute in my own life. The many memories, the many things that fasten upon the heart of a child, of what a mother has represented for us in our lives. They are special things. They are important things. And though you cannot stand where I am today, I would do in your stead and acknowledge a word of deep gratitude and thanks to the mothers here who have poured hours, years, lives into their own children and have done so many things that go by unnoticed or seemingly unnoticed many times. Perhaps it's just that special little thing that is done. Maybe it's a special dessert that is made that you know is the favorite of your children. Maybe it's the number of times you wash the dirty shirt after the child had fallen in the mud or out playing, and off it comes and into the washing machine, and a new and a fresh one goes on. The number of times you sat around the table and helped with homework, helped with those very long and lengthy school projects, and the hours and hours were poured in. What about the very first spiritual impressions that were made upon your life? How many of us can remember back to the times when we knelt beside our beds and the mother was the one who was there and prayed with us and prayed for us, and we felt the love of God coming through the gentle touch or that word that has come from our mother? Those things are all so faithful. Some of us have had that privilege in being brought up in that situation. Some of you, many of you, are just those mothers that I'm describing today. And it is a most great blessing in this service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And my emphasis to you today, focusing upon the value of motherhood and the benefit of serving the Lord in this matter. We're certainly thinking about mothers today, but don't let me leave anyone else out. When we're dealing with this vital topic of a life given over to the devotion and service of Christ in the way in which we live, we talk, we witness. But I would have to say sadly that for every positive example that there has been of a gentle, a loving, a kind mother, there are those who are not that. There are mothers who are very unfaithful in their responsibilities. There are mothers who have deserted their children. There are mothers who have murdered their children. And the sin of abortion that is used only as an excuse for birth control for the most part. How many mothers have done to the death those which are the very children that they carry in their womb? There are many who have been sadly unfaithful. Some years ago, we've heard the report of one that even came from our own day school, who left under sad circumstances, who went off her way and lived her dissolute life, got involved with a man, had a child, and then deserted the child, left it and went away. And the following history and the story goes on of abortion and of continual wicked lifestyle. It's so hard to let that enter into the mind and heart when you know the situation firsthand. But think with me about the illustration in the Scripture about that famine that took place in Samaria many years ago. And the king was walking on the wall, and two women laid hold upon him to find a resolution to a problem. What was the problem? Because of the extremity of the famine, no doubt. But they had agreed, today we will boil and eat my son, and tomorrow we will boil and eat your son. So, the problem was that the one woman did that dastardly act, but the other woman took and hid her son away. And so the argument was, we need to have this son so that we can boil and eat him and not from starving. There is a depth of wickedness in the heart of, yes, some women. Others, in the Scripture account, offered their children to the red-hot idol of Molech, and their children were burned to the death as an offering. You see, children are put on that altar and sacrifice because mothers, without Christ, without the influence of God in their life, are just as dastardly and evil and wicked as any could be. Ah, my friends, there is a great blessing of having God-fearing mothers in our lives. You see, faithfulness is something that the Lord requires of every child of God. And it is required in stewards that they be found faithful. And mothers, you are the stewards of your children before God. They are a gift that God has given, and therefore the responsibility weighs heavy upon you in this walk of faithfulness. But in order to be found faithful, we must first ask some questions. Have you been called to this service of faithfulness? Well, if you will notice in our chapter, in Matthew 10 and verse 1, it says, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, when he had called them unto him. The first calling that is so important in this life of faithful service, it must be the calling of salvation. Mother, if you're here today and you have never given your heart and life to Christ, then you have not yet begun on the road of faithfulness unto God. You must answer that first call of the working of the Spirit of God in salvation. If you do not have a living, a vital relationship with Christ in your own heart, if you don't know the experience of being born again of God's Holy Spirit, then you have not yet come to the starting line. And your life cannot tell for God until first you have come to that personal relationship. I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm not talking about church history in your family. I'm not talking about the number of good things you've done for your family. And it may be that on the surface you are a good mother. You are a good provider for your family. You take care of all those things, even those things I was mentioning to begin with. And yet, there is a problem. There is a problem in the very root of the matter. Your heart is not right with God. You have never come into that living relationship, that personal, vital relationship with Christ as your Savior. And you need to come to Him today. You need to bow your heart before Him. For how possibly can you teach your children to pray if you yourself have never called upon the Lord and you don't know the genuine operation of the Holy Ghost in your heart, giving you life and giving you that sure knowledge that you possess the very God of heaven, that Christ belongs to you and you belong to Him. The very first thing is that you must come and call upon the Lord to become your Savior and your Lord. I'd like you to turn over for a moment, please, to Mark's Gospel, where I ask you to keep a finger there. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 13, this is the same account we have in Matthew, but there is another detail. As often is the case in the Gospel records, one story in one Gospel will be developed and highlighted more fully in another Gospel. And we have in verse 13 the words, "And he goeth up into a mountain, and he calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him." In Matthew's account, it tells us that he called the disciples. And of course, most certainly, they would have gathered themselves to him. But Mark includes this little detail. "And they came unto him." My point to you is that being a faithful steward and servant of God is not serving an institution. It is not serving or bowing down to some ideal or philosophy. It is not a religious system or a denomination. But my friend, we are coming to the person of God's only begotten Son. We are coming to Jesus Christ Himself, to the person of the Lord. And once you have come to the person of Christ in salvation, then we need to be drawn unto Him, to separate ourselves unto Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, being set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we are coming unto this One. We are drawing near to Christ, our Savior. And I would suggest to you this morning that this is the first step if you're going to be involved in active, faithful service for Christ. We need to draw near to Him. We need to come into a closer fellowship and communion with our Lord. Yes, we have been born again of the Spirit of God, but how sad it is that too many, many Christians, they make a profession of faith. They perhaps genuinely ask Christ into their heart as Savior. They take that first step, but it doesn't seem to progress beyond that, or not much beyond that. But my friends, if we are going to be servants of the Most High God, if we're going to follow Christ, mothers, if you're going to be faithful in your giving out of the Gospel to your children, then there has to be a separating of yourself from the world and going unto Him, unto Christ. That is the call to active service. It is unto the Lord. What does this really mean? What does it mean when we talk about going unto Christ? What does it mean when we talk about being separated unto Him? Well, it certainly means this. There has got to be the idea of consecration in your life. Consecration. It is a giving of yourself completely unto God. The idea of consecration, it would not be sensible to think of dividing and giving, well, I'll consecrate half to God and I'll keep half to myself. The very idea of that is repugnant in the teaching of Scripture. The very notion and idea of consecration is a giving of yourself, a giving of the entity, the whole being. And so as we come to serve the Lord in our lives, it has got to be consecrated. When do you consecrate your life to God? Well, we would trust that it's as soon as you're saved. When a person comes to trust the Lord, you say, well, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And that may be the case, but maybe it's another time. Maybe you come to the point of the week of prayer in January when we have that time set apart at the beginning of the year. And I'm always encouraged when there is a stirring in the hearts of God's people, and perhaps people who don't normally come to the prayer meeting may start off the new year and begin at the week of prayer, and that's great. You're starting off with a consecration. But could I ask you, how many of you started off with that zeal at the beginning of this year, and where are you now? Well, maybe the prayer meeting has just kind of died out in your priorities. Maybe you're not on fire as much as you used to be. You see, the idea of consecration, yes, it's okay to have these times in your life, whether it's once a year at the prayer week, or maybe once a month at the time where we meet around the Lord's table. Maybe it'll be once a week at the Lord's day. But my friends, consecration of life means that the whole life and that all of time and everything that we have is given to the Lord. That's what consecration means. It is giving ourselves and not withholding anything from the person and the work of our great Redeemer. You know the story well of Mary in the Bible. She was preparing the Lord's body for His burial. What an illustration you have of someone who has digged deep down into their pockets, if you like, and they've given what they have reserved for a very special day. And Mary took that alabaster box and she broke it and she poured out the contents. So valuable they were. Others around did not understand. Others around criticized her for what she was doing. And that's the same way it will be for you, perhaps. Maybe the criticism will come, you're taking this religion a bit too seriously. You're taking your faith a little too seriously if you're thinking about devoting or consecrating a life in its entirety to the Lord's work. But that's not what Mary thought. And as she poured that oil, that ointment upon the Lord, it filled the room, the fragrance of it. And the Lord rebuked those who stood against her because she was anointing the body of Christ for His burial. You see, Mary loved. And she loved beyond the superficial things. She loved beyond just what other people could see. For she was a woman in touch with God. And her life was a life of consecration. And she forsook other things. And she gave up. She was a consecrated woman. Mothers, are you consecrated unto God in your service for Him? What is it going to mean? Well, consecration is going to mean that we give our life. It's going to mean that we sacrifice. There are some things that have to be given up. Maybe some legitimate things for the cause of the Lord. There may be a cost involved. Some personal things. Some devoted things. Some things that you love. Maybe some things that you've dedicated or thought in your mind that you would like to have, but they have to be put on the altar. There has to be a time of sacrifice. And yet when you use the word sacrifice, really is it a sacrifice at all? Could it really be said that any one of us, in coming to the Lord or giving our life for Him, is making any sacrifice at all? I mean, think of what the Lord gives in place of what we offer to Him. For the Lord has promised, them that honor me, I will honor. And if we give to Him, He will give back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in the bounty and blessings that the Lord will give us. But we do talk of the word sacrifice, and we do sometimes think that, yes, there are things that have to be put on the altar. There have to be things that are set aside for the cause and the life that we are called to live. And there will be suffering in a consecrated life. The disciples that the Lord called to Him, they knew something about this. They were going to know it in more detail, perhaps. When the Lord rose from the dead and the New Testament church was beginning, there began a great persecution against the Christians. And if you were going to identify yourself as a Christian, woman or male, you knew that that was going to cost you something. You knew that there was going to be both sacrifice and suffering involved. And perhaps it was going to mean fleeing your city, your home, your country. Maybe it was going to mean being arrested and put in jail, as they were. As the fires were lit in the Colosseum, as the wild animals were starved, being prepared for that day when the Christians were gathered into the Colosseum. And the wild animals were let loose for the sport of the bloodthirsty Romans. And there they watched men, women, old, young, children, torn apart. You see, it cost something to serve the Lord. There was suffering involved, and there's separation going to be involved sometimes. You may not be sent to the lions, so to speak, but don't forget that the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour, and he's on the prowl continually. And he's looking to rend, to tear apart, to destroy the testimony of the mother. Separation may be caused sometimes from family and friends. But all of these things are part of what it means to be consecrated unto the Lord. But how little we know about these things. We were talking around the table just the other day, talking about what it meant to suffer for the Lord and how little that we know today anything about that. Christianity is so easy today in many ways. There's no threat in this country about being a Christian. It doesn't cost us anything. There are lands and people today of which it costs them to identify themselves as a Christian. Go to some of the Muslim countries today. And that fact is only too clear. There is a cost. And sometimes we don't have any idea of what it means to be a true and faithful believer. But you know, the Lord did not just send out these servants on their own. But if you come back to Matthew 10 and verse 1, it tells us that He gave them power. He gave them power. What does this mean? It means that when the Lord gathered these people to Him, He called them to Himself. They came unto Christ. And what did He do for them? Why, He gave them something in exchange. He gave them power. He gave them the equipment that was necessary for the service that they were going to do. So yes, they were called to the Lord, but they were also equipped for the service that He wanted them to do. The Lord was not going to send out His disciples and say, you have to fend for yourselves. They were not called for active service and then told, do what you can, and hope for the best. And see if the results turn out okay. If you use perhaps strong arguments, good reasoning, good debating skills, then you can build a church. And if you use all of the high pressure sales pitches, Why, you can fill auditorium after auditorium with people. If you bring in the band, if you bring in the entertainment, you can do all of these things. But that's not what the Lord did. He gave them power. They had an anointing from the Lord. He gave them this power, and without this power, they could do absolutely nothing for God. Now, my friends, there are things that can be done without God, humanly speaking, in churches today. And we are seeing evidences of this in a wide range of churches and people and ministries that are filling churches. 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 member churches we're hearing about today. We're in the mega church movement today. But you know, that does not mean and identify the blessing and the presence of God. These people that the Lord called to Him for His service, they had to learn that without Him, ye can do nothing of lasting importance for My kingdom. We must have the power of Christ if we're going to do anything for Him. The filling of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary for our service. Without this anointing, what can we do? There is an anointing from God. John speaks about this in his epistle. An unction from heaven. An anointing for service. The Lord does not send us out to do work by our own power. Because without Him, we have no hope of seeing anything lasting accomplished. Nothing that's going to be meaningful for His kingdom. Do you pray for the infilling of God's Holy Spirit? One time, I remember a Bible teacher telling me that the sad reality of many Christians that grow up in our churches today is that they will never experience the fullness of God's Spirit. They will never experience what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost for active service. Oh, my friend, being filled with the Spirit of God does not mean you're going to have some electrifying experience. Because we are told in the second chapter of Acts that when Peter stood, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to speak the message of God. And it was that the message came, and as he was speaking the message, it was delivered in power and authority. And it may be that when you are witnessing to your children, that you will pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to give you the right word at the right time with the power of God that will be fastened to the heart of your children. Or maybe you're witnessing to a friend. It doesn't have to be a great crowd. The Lord will empower you as you pray and ask Him for that power to be consecrated to Him and to serve Him with all your soul and heart. Ask the Lord for His help. Every day ask Him. It is a great need that we have to know the daily ministry and the help of the Lord. We might have a conscience void of offense toward God and men. I want you to look back at our text again. And thirdly, I want you to notice the substance of the service that they were involved with. Their ministry was a twofold one, according to Matthew 10 and 1. It says, "And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits." Now note here, it is to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. They had a twofold ministry. It was, if we could say it this way, it was a negative ministry and it was a positive ministry. Well, how was it negative? It was negative in the sense that they were going to cast out. They were going to throw out those that were opposed to the working of the Holy Spirit. Some respond that our ministry is not one of contending. It's not one of casting out, but it is of preaching the gospel. And although we might see that a focus of ministry may be in a certain area, yet, my friend, every gospel ministry, every preaching of the gospel has this twofold approach to it. There is the negative and the positive. We must deal with the sin when it comes about. And that's the negative side, if we could put it that way. Because sin is all around us. Satan is so active today in our community, in our very families. And therefore, the need to deal negatively when it comes up, it has to be dealt with. That's part of the substance of our active ministry. It means to cast out. It would be much easier, we would think, if things were not like that. If we didn't have to get involved in this difficult business. But you think of our Master. Think of our Lord. The Lord cast out devils. And when He did so, they accused Him that He did it by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And if they said that about our Lord, how much more will they say about those who are trying to follow faithfully after the Master? There are going to be accusations. To cast out is looked upon as being negative. But I want you to notice that in the context of this verse, this is the thing that has come first, in the first place. Before the first coming of the Lord Jesus, there was a great deal of demonic activity. And if you study the number of times when the Lord had to cast devils out of people, it will become very clear that the powers of darkness were laying hold upon people to a great degree at that time. The disciples themselves also faced this obstacle, and they had to cast these devils out. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, He said, "Now is the prince of this world cast out." And I believe at that point, the devil was greatly hindered. He was bound and he was greatly limited to the ability that he had from that time forward. And if it is true today that we are seeing again a rise of demonic activity, it may well be the result of this, of a deepening apostasy in the churches of Christ, a going down, a turning away from the Word of the Lord. But whatever else this word casting out of devils means, it certainly carries the idea of conquering the powers and the forces of evil in the day in which they lived. Now, if we are not immediately involved with casting out of demons, so to speak, yet still, there is the overcoming of the powers of evil that are influencing us all around. If you try to take the prey out of the mouth of the lion, it is not going to be without danger. And our service for the Lord, our speaking the gospel, our training of our children, well, we can expect that there's going to be great opposition. But when the work of the gospel is being necessarily opposed, we know the devil is at work. And we have a job to do for the Lord. But that was only one part of this negative side. There was also the positive side of healing. Because that was what He told them to do, to go, to cast out, and to heal. To preach that there is a God of reconciliation, a God of love, a God of healing, a God that will bring you to an understanding of sins forgiven through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring men and women to the great physician. For my friend, there is healing in the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ to heal every disease of sin and the corruption that has so taken hold of the hearts and lives of so many people and has broken so many. Let us come, my friends, with a renewed zeal, a renewed devotion, a renewed consecration to the Lord our God, to give ourselves to Him. Friend, do you have to say today that your life is not what it should be for the Lord? Do you have to say, mother, that your life has been less than a vital living example of Christ to your children? Then come. Come and kneel before the Lord and pray that God will take and consecrate and keep you in your life as a living example to your family. That you will be that disciple of the Lord. It may be, mother, that you haven't even come to the foot of the cross yet. You haven't trusted the Lord. Maybe someone else here, and you realize in your heart, it's not right with me. I need to get right with God. Then today is the day. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Would you not come this very morning and give your heart and give your life unto Christ? Let's bow, please, for prayer. If we could be of any help to you at the close of our service, any help at all to share with you the things of God and show you from His Word how you can know that Christ is real and that you can have that real, living relationship with Him today. And we would be glad to take whatever time we can and show you from His own precious Word. Don't leave today. Consecrate yourself unto Him right where you're seated, and you might know the joy and the peace of God's full salvation. Our loving and eternal God, we thank Thee this morning for all the blessings of God showered upon us through our Lord Jesus. We rejoice today for His grace and love in our own life. We pray that we might learn what it is to stand outside the camp bearing the reproach of our Lord. Help us, we pray, to be devoted unto Him. Father, hear our prayers. Take us now to our homes in safety. Bless us, we pray, on the Lord's Day, and bring us back again to the house of the Lord tonight, looking for and expecting the blessing of the Lord upon each one. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.